This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at REACH 2017, held on March 23 and 24, 2017, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
In this book, the editor, Fran Love, says this. If we look around and we see the women beside us and around us, these women are our inheritance. They are part of God's gift to us. And I like that. My sister is a gift to me because I can learn from her. She supports me. We can support and encourage each other. So she says, the driving force behind my ministry is this passion to take hold of my inheritance. I want a big inheritance. So I want to be able to count many, many women as my sisters in Christ. Would God want us to have that as our passion? That we would have many, many sisters in Christ. So that means we have some work to do, right? Okay. Another book that God used to speak to me this last year was Nabil Koresh's book in Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. These happen to be Muslim-focused, but they are applicable to everything. In there, the end of his book, he asked, why does God have you here on this earth? And I thought, okay, why does God have me here on this earth? Well, why? Why does God have you here? Soon after that, we heard him give a message. And then at the end, a choir sang a song, We Preach Christ. And in the lyrics of that chorus, it says, we have one reason to remain, to proclaim his name, to bring glory to his name. So he says the one reason is to proclaim his name. Otherwise, what are we really doing here? Why does God have us here? So if we're proclaiming his name, we can be instrumental in bringing more women to Christ. So the outline I have here is just a few questions. Why should we reach women with the gospel? And that's, we just know that, right? But we'll look at a few verses to remind us. And then to whom should we reach out? Who does God want us to reach out to? And what do we share when we reach out? Talk a little bit about the gospel, and then how do we do that? What are some practical ways we can meet and interact with ladies? Why should women reach women with the gospel? Because God wants his lost sheep found. We thank God that someone shared Jesus with us, and there are others that also need Jesus, so we need to do our part. In 2 Corinthians 5, he says that, let me just read this for you, 5:14-15, especially verse 15, the love of Christ controls us or compels us. And we know that he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. So his love compels us to do that. And it's because we're not living for ourselves, we're living for him. Someone said, we have a banquet. We have riches, spiritual riches. Can we just keep eating and eating and let others starve? And then the next one, because he's given us the ministry of reconciliation, we are ambassadors. And we've heard that verse several times this weekend. He has entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. And so it's a privilege, not just a responsibility, because being an ambassador is not a job that's given to just everyone. As women, we can connect with women on a heart level, perhaps in ways that men can't. And as we connect, spiritual needs are uncovered, that we can help to point people to Christ. And in many cultures, and that's what this book is about, in Muslim cultures and some tribal cultures, it's not so appropriate for the men to be interacting with the women. So there's a job that only we can do. And if we as followers of Jesus don't reach out to these women, how are they going to hear the gospel? I was challenged recently to thinking about our Anabaptist foremothers, our ancestors, and what we can learn from their story. When they met Jesus, when their lives were changed, there was a big change, and they were excited about what God was doing in their lives. And we learned that they took seriously their mandate to share the good news of Jesus, and they seized opportunities to reach other women with the gospel. They had found a treasure. They had found life in Jesus, so they wanted to share that. Do you think they were busy with their housework? Busy with work in the fields, caring for their family? This was a long time ago. They didn't have all the conveniences we have today, right? So certainly they were. Yet they found ways to share the gospel with their neighbors, with their family connections, and others. History tells us that they gossiped the gospel on market day. When they went to market, they were so excited about what Jesus had done for them. They would just talk about Jesus in the marketplaces. And my husband tells a story, and I read part of that, too, that sometimes they would chain the ladies in their houses on market day. The authorities would go in and tie them to their tables in their homes so they wouldn't go to the market and share the gospel. I don't think they have too much trouble chaining us in our homes, would they? And then I read of another Anabaptist sister who said she often went with her distaff. Now, we don't have distaff, so we're not spinning. Maybe we could share our crochet hooks or our mending or something like that. She often went to visit neighbors with her distaff, and she talked of Jesus as she did her handwork. Could I do that? There was another example of a housewife who shared the gospel with her domestic helper, with her servants. And that's the way some other sisters came to Christ. And other servants came to faith in Jesus as they overheard their mistresses sharing with each other about the gospel. Because of the social distance, the servants weren't always in the conversations, but they could listen in. That was a challenge to me because I thought, you know what, I get together with my friends if we're baking Christmas cookies. I don't quilt, but maybe some of you do. You're sitting around the quilting frame. If your servants or friends, somebody's listening in on your conversations at your ladies' sewing circles, would they be able to know about Jesus just by listening in on your conversations? What do we talk about when we're together? Something to think about. But we all have excuses. What are some of those excuses that keep us from sharing the good news, from reaching other women? I don't have... Oh, right. I just talked last weekend with my daughter. She has four children of her own. And we were talking about this topic, and she's very much involved with whoever's around her, with her neighbors or whoever. And she said a couple years ago, she thought, something is wrong with the picture in my life, because I think I should go and talk to this neighbor across the street, or whoever it is. But she said, my first thought is, I don't have anybody to leave my children with. So she didn't go because she didn't have a babysitter. And then she said she was thinking something was wrong with that. She said when she was growing up, she never had a babysitter, or very seldom. But she would take her books or whatever, and we would go together. So she said, I could take my children. I don't always have to have a babysitter. Now, that's something you have to decide with your family, the stage of your family, or the children, and that's not always possible. But we can use those excuses to keep us in our comfortable little worlds and not to go out. Another excuse, I must care for my family, okay? And family needs are important. We need to take care of those. But I don't know in your household, but I discovered those chores are never ended. There's always something else that you could do. And so if we wait until we get everything done, we'll probably not take time to reach out. Another one that I often think of is, I don't know how to relate. We don't have anything in common. What am I going to talk about? And sometimes I just don't want to get involved with the messiness because it's going to take time. It's going to take time. Another excuse that I have heard and possibly used, my gift is, we could put in there, my gift is not evangelism, which you're probably thinking. And so you fill in your own gift. What I hear most is, I like to disciple, but we can't disciple if we're not sharing the gospel first. So we can hide behind those excuses. Now, which one of those excuses do you use most often? Or maybe you have another one. You want to mark the one that is most useful for you when you want to find a reason not to go, or write in your own excuse. Okay, and to help us to think why those excuses may not be valid, to remember that we often tend toward the easy, what is most comfortable and most easy, and that usually is not reaching out to someone who doesn't know the Lord. I must see sharing the gospel as a part of serving Jesus rather than a gift. He has given the gift of evangelism, of relating with people in that way, unsaved people, to some, a special gift, I think, to some people. But sharing the gospel is our responsibility. It's not just a gift. We're depriving ourselves of joy, and we're depriving other women of life if we refuse to do that, or we choose not to. Maybe we're caring more about our own comfort than about other people's souls. And we don't have to solve all their messy problems. Jesus is the one that solves their problems. So we shouldn't hold back because of that. Or perhaps I'm not really thinking about how much Jesus has done for me. Maybe I don't appreciate that as much as I should. Because when I think about what Jesus has done for me, then I long for other women to know that as well, to experience the freedom and the peace that Jesus gives. So, our Anabaptist sisters found a way to do both, to take care of their families and to share the gospel. Can we do the same? Okay, so that's why, or some of the reasons why. So who should we reach out to? To whom should we reach out? And then we'll look at what we share and how. Okay, I just have a few items here. To those in your Jerusalem, to those who are nearby, we start there with the ones that God has placed close to us. Perhaps you can't just cross the street or cross the ocean, but consider where your life intersects with other ladies, with other women. Who is in your path? Day by day, or week by week, or maybe month by month. Who is in your path? You go to the supermarket, do you see the same girl at the checkout counter? When you go to the post office, one place, yeah, the one lady at the post office is always so friendly, so when I can, I get to her window. I don't even know her name, but we have a little exchange every time that we go there. The library is another place that we can intersect with people. Even Walmart, doctor's office. There's always people there next door. I met one of our neighbor ladies when I was out in the garden picking something. I know she loves things from the garden, so she came by and was asking about. My husband raises vegetables and stuff. Okay, so I was out there gathering something, tomatoes or something, and so she stopped and talked. And as we talked, she was walking her child home from school. And I thought, this lady looks so sad. And so I asked her, I said, are you okay? Is everything all right? Well, she shared that she'd been suffering from depression, just a lot of things, a single mom and a lot of things. So that kind of started our relationship. It hasn't gone very far because she's still, I tried to share some scriptures with her, and first thing I know, she was on her phone talking. So I read Bible stories to her little boy. And he came over to make cookies, and she was so happy because she had a babysitter. I thought we were all going to work on it together. And so she drops him off, and then I have to go do something. So anyway, I still haven't gotten very far with her, with Magali. Just a couple weeks ago, I was talking with a young bride. She's only been married maybe a year. And they live way out in the country. And she said, how does my life intersect with ladies? I want to be able to reach women, but I don't know how because my life, I'm just pretty much by myself. So we talked about some possibilities, and that's not my problem because I have ladies all around me. It's just deciding who God wants me to talk to, right? So, but I know we all come from different countries, cities, villages, whatever, towns. So we talked about some ideas, and then we talked about the library, and she said, oh, I have to go to the library to get internet. But she said, I usually just sit out in my car because it's more efficient, you know, and get my emailing done. But she said, I could go into the library. I said, oh, that's a wonderful idea. Find ways that we can deliberately put ourselves in the path of other ladies. And then I said, well, how about shopping? Do you meet people when you shop? She said, well, I drive about 20 miles to go to an Aldi's because it's cheaper. But she said, maybe I could check out the prices at our local supermarket. Then I could meet ladies from our area. So as we stop and think, we can think of different ways to intersect with ladies. Parks are another place that's more for city people. I have a friend who, she lives way out in the country, but she has a real burden for, especially for Muslim ladies, that keeps cropping up, but for anybody. And so she was praying that God would lead her to a lady who would need Christ, to a woman that would need Christ. And so she kept praying, God, there's somebody out there you want me to meet. And she went to Walmart. When she left her house, she thought, I think maybe I'm going to find that lady today. So she was praying that God would bring that lady to her. So she did her shopping, and she was looking around at all the other customers. But nothing really, she didn't get that nudge that she was. So she walked out to the parking lot. She was sitting in her car, and she said, God, I thought you wanted me to come here to Walmart to meet somebody today. So if it's somebody here in the parking lot, show me. And she looked up, and here was a Muslim lady, because of her dress, she could tell, who was walking, I think, to her car from Walmart or into the store, I forget which. And it was like, God said, there's your lady. And so she gets out of her car again and goes over and introduces herself. And they have formed a friendship that has lasted for several years. The lady needs a friend because of some family difficulties and being in a new country. She hasn't accepted the Lord yet, but little by little, she's been able to share with her. I like that. Maybe you can just, we're not going to have much time for this, but try to think of two or three places where your life intersects with ladies. Can you think? At least one place. Okay, our Western model is to focus on individuals. But in the third world and in many cultures within our own country now, life revolves around family networks. So we can attempt to build friendship with the whole family. Julie is a neighbor girl that I've visited a number of times. She just turned 20. And so when I go to visit her, sometimes she's not at home. So I'd sit down and chat with her grandmother and read and pray with her. And last time, it was her older cousin. And it was one of the first times a cousin really had time to talk. And so we had a nice talk. So if the lady that you're looking for is not there, talk to someone else in the family. And I remember in Nicaragua, our door was always open, and the neighbor children came around. The one little boy came, and he just talked and talked, and he wanted to learn about God. He wanted to learn about Jesus. And so we talked about Bible stories and did things. And then we said, I want to meet your mother. So one day he took me back around the alleys to meet his mom. And that was the beginning of a wonderful friendship. And she and her husband both became Christians. He became a leader in the church. The rest of the story is in other chapters, but children can lead us to their mothers. Okay. Now. All right. So what do we share when we interact with women who don't know the gospel? The gospel actually is very simple. Sometimes we complicate it by trying to explain everything we know, and I think I did that a lot in the beginning when I tried to share the gospel with people. We kind of inject our own opinions or try to explain things, but the gospel's not about me, it's about Jesus. Keep it simple. And sometimes we go to a lot of things in the discipleship before we ever get to share the gospel. The treasure we have is Jesus, so let's talk about him. Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power of God into salvation to everyone who believes. So that's my neighbors, the women that God brings into my life, everyone. The gospel is for everyone. So it's not my words that are the power, it's God's words that are life and are power. So we share scripture. Have scripture verses on the walls of our house. If the women, if our friends are invited into our home, they can see scripture there. We have in our bathroom a little verse there, a little woolly sheep that said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And so our neighbor came one time and happened to see it. What does that mean? Had no clue what it meant that God was our shepherd, that Lord Jesus was our shepherd. 1 Corinthians 4:5 is a comforting verse. 2 Corinthians 4:5. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. So we preach Jesus, not Christ. Our service can crack open the door for the gospel. But always the servanthood should point to Jesus, our Savior. So what is the gospel? In 1 Corinthians 15, he says, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you." All right, so this essence of the gospel, that Christ died for our sins. Okay, so we have... we get connected to our friends, to the women through friendship and our lives intersecting. But then we need to get to God. We need to talk about God. And then we need to get to lostness, to the gospel, understand our sin. So he died for our sins. It's a personal thing for my sin. And he was crucified, yes. That's died for our sins. He was buried. Mm-hmm. And he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. And after that, he appeared. He was real. It was true. It wasn't a fable. So that's the essence of what we share. Hopefully, you were in my husband's class. He taught you how to share the gospel, okay? I'm not going to repeat all of that, or I'm not going to go into that as well, or as detailed as what he did. So we share the gospel. In 1 Thessalonians 1:5, Paul says, our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power and with the Holy Spirit and with deep conviction. So that takes the pressure off of us. I don't have to convert these women. I don't have to change them. God is the one who changes them. So what do we share? We share his message, his invitation, and we may not share it all at one sitting. You know, if we meet a lady, most of the time we don't share the whole gospel at one time. We might if it's just a first-time encounter. But if it's a lady that you're building friendship with, you might want to start with part of it and keep building as you have opportunity to relate with her, sharing with the parables, the Bible stories. Or if you share the gospel and she's not ready, then just keep building with Bible stories and parables. Always use scripture. Show the stories of Jesus' compassion for women. I just recently looked at, we watched a DVD on Magdalena, who is the story of Mary Magdalene, and it's a powerful DVD if you're into that kind of tool for sharing the gospel. It makes you almost weep when you see the compassion that Jesus had for the women in the New Testament. And it's there again. There's many, many women that he touched. And that can speak to women as well. And then share what God is doing for you. Is God real in my life? Is he doing something for me right now? And share about your struggles, things that you're praying about, and answers to prayer. Do I really believe that he can do the same for Julie and for my Muslim neighbor and for the grandmother in the next block who trusts her saints more than Jesus? He can, but we need to share those answers so they can see that God is real. What am I excited about? Those are ways that we can connect. All right, so that's a few little ideas of what to share when you're sharing with women who do not know Jesus. How do we do this? How do we reach women? Okay, we talked about how our lives intersect. So let's just look at a few practical suggestions, okay? I have three P's here. Presence and prepare. We have to prepare. And then prayer. So let's look at presence. We're in the world. We will and we should rub shoulders with unsaved women. I told you about Aaron, the little boy who came to our house and took me to meet his mother. There was another young lady who came and she just wanted to help me. She was a young teen, and so she helped me a lot, just playing with the babies or changing diapers or whatever. And then she took me to, or her sister came also somehow through her. I met her sister, and we were able to lead her sister to the Lord. And both of those young ladies became believers. My husband helps me a lot. I'm a little more timid, and he's a little more ready to talk to people, strangers. So I've in the city, and even in Nicaragua, he would go visiting and talking with people everywhere. And then he would come home and say, Carolyn, I think you need to go visit that lady down in house number whatever. And so it kind of helped to open up the way for me. It made it a lot easier because it's a little hard to kind of make that first contact, right? One day he came home and he said, Carol, I think you need to go and visit the grandmother next door. And I said, but I don't know them. Well, it doesn't matter. You need to go and talk with her because the grandmother is not going to live very long. And I think she needs to hear the gospel. So, you know, it's kind of awkward. I said, well, she's sick in the family. I don't want to intrude. You know, lots of excuses I could think of. But, you know, the Lord kept prompting me on that. So one day I said, okay, I'm going to go. They were so gracious. And the grandmother was very, very ill. And they actually let me go into the bedroom where she was. And I had the privilege of sharing the gospel of Jesus, the good news that Jesus had died for her. And she listened, she understood. I ask her, I said, do you have Jesus? Do you know that Jesus is in your heart? Well, you know, I said, would you like to surrender your life? She said, yes. And I'll never forget the joy that was on her face after she prayed. It was just that I knew that God had done something in her heart. And it was so, so beautiful. And it wasn't what I did. God did that in her heart. She passed away, I don't think, maybe a week or so later. I had gone back to visit her one other time, and she still had that same joy. We won't have those opportunities always. We need to take them when we have them. Another lady I met in the laundromat. We're sitting there waiting for our laundry to finish, and we just started chatting, and she was another lady who seemed so sad. And so I had the opportunity to pray with her and share the gospel, and she wanted to receive Christ right there in the laundromat. I was really shocked. But you know, how we have common needs. These ladies were discouraged and depressed. But we have commonalities. Some of the common fears that all women have. We care about our children, right? We care about family. We care about our finances. We care about health. So those are all connecting points with the ladies that God brings into our lives. Felt needs. Maybe somebody needs to learn how to speak English. If you're in a city where there's lots of refugees, maybe you have an opportunity to connect with them. Let's go to the next one. A paraclete model is coming along beside them. Be there to help in times of need. Shared tears. Rocky and Betty were neighbors who lived in front, across the street from us. We could never get very close to them. They were just had all these walls up. So Christmas time came, we thought, well, we'll take the cookies and we'll sing for them. That will help. Well, she met us at the door and she said, we don't eat cookies and we don't really want to hear you sing your songs. That was devastating, but we couldn't do anything, so we turned away. So the walls were up there. One day, somebody knocked on my door, and it was Betty, and she was in tears. I was so shocked to see her because she'd never, never come to our house. We could talk to them a little bit on the porch to say hi, but that was it. And she said, my granddaughter just passed away. She had just become a grandmother, and the parents were living with them. The little girl, it was a crib death. She was, I think, a year and a half or something. She was so devastated. She came where she felt she could find some comfort or some prayer. And so it just took me so much by surprise. I didn't pray for her right there, but I thought, okay, now what can I do? Or maybe I did, I don't remember. So we took some food over and just sat with the family for a little bit. We never know when those opportunities will come, but we share tears and share time and touch, availability. Paul said, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel, but our lives as well, because you have become so dear to us. We can use our home to invite ladies for tea parties. And in New York at the Mission Training Center, Dolores Peachy, the cook, is having wonderful tea parties with Chinese ladies, and they've turned into Bible studies. And so they have their little tea party, their meal, and then they study the Bible. They're so excited. They've never read the Bible before. Find ways to use birthday parties to connect and baby showers. Okay. One thing that I want to learn how to do more is to take more time for my errands. Sometimes I'm so measured with my time. I have 15 minutes. I can run down to the post office quick and get this package mailed. You know that I miss everybody in my path because I'm so focused on getting this task done. And so if I can remember, my life is not just about getting my work done, but to create a little more margin and be available if I meet someone along the way, we want to chat, there's time for that. Include friends, unsaved friends, into your work projects, picnics, Thanksgiving, Christmas. I'm not sure what all I have there for the blanks on that one. many lonely women who need a mother or a sister. Okay, I think our time is just about up, so we're going to have to go be a learner. Ask them to help you. I learned how to clean chicken because I didn't know how to do it properly. So if you ever want to really learn how to clean chicken, ask someone from Central America or from Haiti or from Jamaica, Trinidad, how to clean chicken, and they'll show you how to do it the right way. So we need to learn from our friends and from our neighbors and be a receiver. Find ways, be needy. Let them help you with projects. Okay, prepare. Be ready. I have in the back a little, a little booklet that is very helpful for sharing the gospel. You can pick one up as you go out if you're interested. Have you heard the good news? And it walks us through. So learn how to use one of those things. Prepare. Think ahead of time how you can share the gospel with people. Be ready and be gentle. Don't argue. He says, in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared, but do this with gentleness and respect. We need to respect these ladies and be careful when we give prayer requests for this needy lady that I met yesterday or whatever. Be very careful. We need to respect their dignity and don't gossip about whatever you see in their homes when you go to visit them. There's prayer. Paul says, pray that God will open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ and proclaim it clearly and to make the most of every opportunity. And again in Ephesians, he says, pray for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I may fearlessly make known the gospel. And then pray with your ladies, whatever needs they have. If they're depressed, financial needs, pray with them right there whenever they, and just ask God for love for them. So I have a few questions there. Ask God who he wants you to reach with the gospel. Write down the names of a few women that you might see weekly, and then just pray that God will open their hearts and that God will give you opportunities. You'll have a passion. So why does God have us here on this earth? To proclaim his name, to reach out to women who don't know him. And reaching women with the gospel may be painful. It can be even messy or frustrating, but it is doable. It is doable. It will enrich our lives here. It will enlarge our inheritance. We'll have more and more sisters, many sisters in the gospel. And most of all, it will bring glory to God for eternity because there will be more women in the gospel, in heaven if we take seriously our responsibility. But it comes through prayer. It comes through being willing to be an instrument that God can use. Do I have a minute yet? Okay. Thank you. I like to just pray that God will help us to do that because it's only with his empowerment and the passion that he puts in our hearts that we're going to be able to do anything. We thank you, Father, that someone shared Jesus with us. We thank you, Lord, for the treasure that we have of Jesus in us, Jesus with us, Jesus, our hope for eternity. Father, I pray that you would help each of us here to have a passion for women who don't know you, that we would have our eyes open and our mouths, that we would, when we open our mouth, we could share your gospel clearly and boldly. Show us, Lord, who you might want us to start that journey with, and we know that you would be honored and glorified with many, many more women coming into the kingdom. Help us to do our part. We thank you, Lord, that you will do your part in drawing people to yourself. Bless each lady here, Lord, in whatever ministry that she has, that she could be a fruitful witness for you. We thank you in Jesus' name for what you're going to do in each of us. Amen. Thank you.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.